Hi, welcome. So I'm Shannon, for those of you who haven't met me before. I'm so excited to have you all here today. It's just my favourite place to be is in church. I just love it. I'm just really excited about what God's going to be doing today. What we've been doing for the past few weeks is we've been talking through what we call our heartbeats. So these are our values as a church. And just up the back, we've got these wee welcome information things, and inside it gives you a bit of information, a bit of a rundown on what our values are, just so that you know who we are as a church. So we are wanting to see people live free, live brave, live connected, live authentic, live creative, and live generous lives. And I'm really excited about this series. I'm really excited about seeing people come into who it is that God has created them to be. That if anyone who knows me, that's my heart, is to see people step into their identity in Christ. And so I'm really excited this morning. I'm talking about our heartbeat, live authentic. I was like, right, I'm doing this one. I'm snatching that one. So as a church, we have a heart to see people stepping out into who it is that God has created them to be, stepping into their identity and the calling that God has for them. It's not paint by numbers, but custom made, authentic and real. We don't believe in cookie cutter Christianity. We're all exactly the same, and we all do things this exact same way, and we all pray like this, and we all worship like this. God has created each and every one of us as individuals, and we want to celebrate that and help people celebrate that. We live in a world where people are completely defined by their social media feed. You know, it's carefully crafted to look like we've got the perfect life, full of adventure and wonder, where all our meals look on point all the time, and we are amazing all the time. And, you know, it's really easy to look at one another's social media feed and judge our own life, bloopers and all, against other people's highlight reel. You know, like we're comparing something, what we know about our own lives, against something that's not a completely accurate portrayal. Okay, I don't know about you, but when it comes to my Instagram and Facebook feed, only the best images are uploaded. There's no, like, crazy face, there's no fat days, there's no, like, not looking good. Okay, so, you know, especially if I'm in these photos, you know, there's none of the messy housework that needs to be done, it's only the nice, clean one
corner.
Like, the rest of the house behind me, bomb site, but oh, this corner's nice, let's upload that today. And that's after I've moved everything to, you know, take the photo, add the filters, adjust it, and then upload. Add the right hashtags, you know. Only the best shots are uploaded, there's the cute cafe meals, the selfies have been taken multiple times, like it's not just one shot and away we go. No, they're multiple times. The filters have been added, it's been cropped. I used to be a photographer, so sometimes there's Photoshop and stuff is sucked in and tucked in, all that kinds of stuff. You know, anything bad is not going up there. It's only the most flattering angles. You know, it's not a snapshot, it's a snapshot of my life, but it's not exactly an accurate snapshot. It's just what I want everyone to think my life is like. Okay, so yeah, it's not the whole truth. I'm admitting it today. Hashtag not real life. Okay, so in a world of filters and hashtags, people are longing for something authentic. You know, authenticity in their relationship with God, people, and ourselves. And our heart is to see people living authentic lives and walking in the identity that Christ has created for them. Okay, in Ephesians 1:11, my favourite verse in the Bible, it says, "It's in Christ we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs for us on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he was working out in everything and everyone." You know, in Christ we find out who it is we are and what we're living for. You know, I love that. There's no pretense or striving or pretending. You know, when we're secure in that, then there's a natural ease to our life. And everything flows from that place. Now, that's not to say that life is going to be perfect, because stuff happens. But you're secure in who you are, and being honest with yourself and God and others where you're at, okay? And when you come against storms, then you're reacting or responding to them from a place that is true to you and true to who God has created you to be. It's not false perfection as you journey through the life's highs and lows and storms, but staying a steady course that is true to who God has created you to be in those seasons and not changing based on who you are around. Now, one of the important things, though, and living an authentic life and outwalking your identity in Christ is to actually know who you are in God. You know, to know that He has created you, you are His child, you are unique. And if you don't know who you are, then that's where you've got to start from. Because the world will tell you a million different things of who you should be and who you are. But it's God who actually tells you the truth. Now, Michael Jordan, just going off message here, good time starting already. Michael Jordan says, can I find it? Authenticity is about being true to who you are, even when everyone around you wants you to be someone else. You know, the world will tell you that you should be striving after money and power and fame. But God, that's not what He's designed and purposed you for. Some people that is, but that's not everybody. And He wants you to not be striving for those things, but be for going after the things that He has placed in your heart, the purposes and dreams that He has given you. You know, after we've got two amazing children and miracle babes, Asher and Charlie, after they were born, I got quite sick, and I was diagnosed with postnatal depression, and I was pretty unwell for a really long time. I did not cope. I couldn't hold a conversation. I had to carry a wee notebook around with me so I could remember what I was speaking to people about. The phone, we had caller ID on the phone. I'd just look at it. I wouldn't answer the phone. I'd run away from people in the supermarket because I didn't want to talk to people I knew. Even it would just be like, hi. It was just too much anxiety. I couldn't drive for a while. I'd just have a major panic attacks. Poor Ray, if plans changed and I had less than 3 weeks, 5 hours and 2 minutes notice, I was like a crumpled mess on the floor. I couldn't cope. And it was just not who I am and not who God, I knew that God had created me to be. And in that time, it was pretty tough. And I had to learn to accept help. I'm quite stubborn, and I had to learn to go, you know, I need help with this. And I had to learn to allow God just to love on me and just to journey me through it. And part of that, one of these things happened. Charlie was about 18 months old, and I was studying journalism. And I was on placement here in Alexandria, actually, and I was staying at my parents' place. And one of the days off I had, I said to Mum and Dad, look, just go look after Charlie. I'm just going to take the car and just drive and take photos. And it was one of the things that I loved to do, and I hadn't done it in so long. And so I just pick up my camera, jump in the car, and just see where I'd go. No plan, no Google Maps. I'll just take the backcountry roads and see where I'd end up. And as I was driving, I realised, oh my gosh, I love to do this. This is something that I love. And I haven't done this in I don't know how long. And it struck me that there are a lot of things that I loved to do that I had put aside and I'd forgotten about and I had dropped. And I was like, oh, those are the things that made me me. Those are the things that made me unique. Those are the things that were actually really important to me, and I let them go. So what I did, I was approaching 30. I had a few years, and I was like, right, I'm going to create a list of 30 things to do before I turn 30. And so I wrote them down, and it was really awesome. I was like, right, I'm going to do this. I was like, okay, and then I need to be accountable. So I actually created a canvas, and I hung it in my kitchen of this list and would check it off so everyone could see it when I came in for that, when they came into the kitchen. And it was things like bike the rail trail. There was things like paint a picture, climb a mountain, do something brave. Spontaneous, yes, do something that scares me, go swimming at midnight. As you can remember the list. There's a whole heap of things on that list. And so I would see that every day, and I was like, right, I'm going to do these. And because some of them were things that I loved to do, but had become too scared to do and become too afraid. And so that for me was part of my journey of relearning who it was that God had created me to be and who it was, and stepping into what God had for me. Some things were like, read the Bible. And people are like, you don't read the Bible? I'm like, I mean, like, the whole thing. Like, I do read the Bible, but I haven't read every single chapter. You know, so there's things like that. And that, for me, that journey, it became not just 30 things to do before I turned 30. It then became 30 things to do in the year I turned 30. and then 30 things to do once I became 30, because I'm still working through the list. But I'm over halfway, which is quite exciting. And it was really cool. And it was a really important thing for me to discover who it is that God had created me to be. And to also learn that I'm not the same person I was years ago, because I've grown up and I've matured and things have changed. But it was learning just to accept who I was, because I was very concerned about, especially when I got ill, about making sure that everything was perfect, that no one knew. So everything looked good on the outside. I was calm, I was composed, but inside I was a complete mess. It was like, you know how you see the ducks on water and they're just kind of cruising along, but their little legs are going crazy underneath? It was like that, and I was a bit of a mess. And learning to accept that I wasn't perfect took a wee bit of time. It's probably still a work in progress. But, you know, God is so gracious and kind. And I think part of living authentic is to accept who you are, faults and all. Because God accepts us, faults and all. He doesn't go, "I'm sorry, Tabitha, you're not perfect. You can't come into church just yet. You just have to wait." You know, like, he doesn't expect us to have it all together before we can come to him. And that's one of the things I love about God. And we don't have to pretend. And when we know who it is that he has created us to be, there is a natural ease to life, because we're not having to try and pretend that we like something that we don't, or that we react to something in a way that is not natural for us. You know, we don't have to pretend and strive and, you know, have it all together. So, awesome. The Bible talks about the story of Esther. I love, this is one of my favourite stories. So for those of you, if you're not aware, Esther was a young Jewish girl who found herself in the king's courts, and eventually she found herself as king of a nation. When Esther first went into the king's courts, she was instructed, she kind of went into his harem with a whole lot of other girls, and she was instructed by her uncle Mordecai to do as she was told there, just listen, don't try and make a fuss, just, you know, if you're asked to do something, do it with, you know, just be nice, get along with everyone, and you know, just, you know, do as she's told, and nicely, but also not to tell anyone that she was Jewish. She didn't want to stand out from the crowd. Following on years later, Esther eventually won the heart of the king, and she was made queen. You know, she had a lot of favour in that place. Her uncle Mordecai, he would stay outside the palace gates on a regular basis just to listen in, hear how she was getting on, and all that kind of stuff, make sure that she was okay. Because even though she was the queen, he's still her uncle, and he loved her, and he wanted to make sure that she was okay. This is the very condensed version, all right? One day, her uncle Mordecai, he overheard plans being made at the palace gates to murder the king. So he went and he warned Queen Esther, who was then able to make King Xerxes aware of the plot against him and actually save the life of the king. It's a pretty good thing to do. The king actually got that written down in his books, in his official records, to know that this had happened. I went from there. A little while later, there was one of the king's men, a guy named Haman, who wasn't very nice. He decided to make it a bit of a rule that everyone would bow down to him. And, you know, he was the authority around the place, and he wanted them to bow down to him and to listen to him. And Mordecai, being Jewish, he would not bow down to Haman. You know, he's like, "No, you're not my God, you're not my king, I will not bow down to you." And this infuriated Haman. And so after finding out that Mordecai was a Jew, he began a plot to kill not only Mordecai, but all of the Jews. Okay, now that guy's got serious anger issues, let's be serious. You know, like, we're unhinged, you know, you're not going to take it out on the one person who's ticked you off, you'll take it out on the entire nation of people. Yeah. So Esther 3:8-9. Haman then spoke with the king Xerxes. "There is an odd set of people scattered throughout the provinces of your kingdom who don't fit in. Their customs and ways are different from those of everybody else. Worse, they disregard the king's laws. They are an affront. The king shouldn't put up with them. If it please the king, let orders be given that they be destroyed. I'll pay for it myself. I'll deposit 375 tons of silver in the royal bank to finance the operation." The king slipped his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, son of Hammedatha the Agite, arch enemy of the Jews. Go ahead, the king said to Haman. It is your money. Do with whatever you want with these people. Now, just a bit of a side note. Sometimes people are going to feel threatened by your identity. Okay? Unfortunately, it being seen as human nature to be afraid of things and people we don't understand and who are different to us. That is not God's nature. It is not God's nature to be threatened by those that are different to us. He created us unique. It is God's nature to celebrate our differences, to love our differences, to be united in our diversity. Okay, so it was decreed throughout the nation that on a specific date, the Jews would be wiped out and their property plundered. So really not a good day to be a Jewish person. When Mordecai learned what had been decreed, he, like many of the nation, were distressed and anguished, and weeping and wailing could be heard throughout the city. Mordecai approached his niece Esther to speak to her husband the king on behalf of the people. Esther replied that those who approached the king without being summoned are sentenced to death, and that she had not been seen by the king for more than 30 days. So to approach the king without being asked, she could be facing certain death. Now, Esther 4:14 says, Mordecai sent her this message in reply. Don't think that just because you live in the king's house, you're the one Jew who will get out of this alive. If you persist in staying silent in a time like this, help and deliverance will arise for the Jews from someplace else. But you and your family will be wiped out. Who knows? Maybe you were made queen for such a time as this. Now, our world needs us to be our authentic selves. They need to see authentic Christians living life with Jesus, walking in relationship with him. They need to see that there is hope and light in a dark world. If not, they will perish. You know, hiding that light, pretending to be something that we're not, will not serve us or those around us at all. You know, God has created you with a plan and a purpose, and I believe that he has positioned you, like Esther, to impact those around you. He's positioned you in your family. He's positioned you in your workplace, in your school, in your neighborhood, in your church. He has positioned you to impact those around you. Now, Esther told Mordecai to gather the Jews and to get them to pray for her while she fasted and prayed for 3 days in preparation to approach the king. When the time came for Esther to approach the king, an act which could possibly have her killed, he spared her life and allowed her to approach him. Now, that's God's favour right there. You're walking into a situation where you're facing certain death and then your life is spared and you get hurt by the king. You know, that's God's favour. To cut a long story short, I encourage you guys to go read the book of Esther if you haven't. It's just amazing. But Esther's favour meant with the king meant that she was able to plead her case for her people and that the plot to kill the Jews was thwarted. You know, the Jewish people were saved. God had positioned Esther in the palace knowing that she would be in the right place at the right time to save her people. God has positioned you knowing that you are the right person in the right place to impact those around you. But it's the person that he has created you to be and designed you to be, not the Instagram hashtag version of ourselves that we sometimes try to hide behind. Yeah. Coco Chanel, she's like a famous French fashion designer, says hard times arouse an instinctive desire for authenticity. You know, when the brown stuff hits the earliest thing, you know, we're not going to have all the falseness and stuff that's not real, it's not going to help us. When storms rage, it's an authentic relationship with God that is going to anchor us. Fluffiness and pretense won't survive, but steadfast faith and the knowledge that we're not defined by our circumstances will. You know, you may be facing a circumstance which was unexpected, which is painful, which, you know, is just not where you want to be right now. You are not defined by your circumstances. You are defined by your God, by your Father, by the one who created you. You are defined by him. Now, God created each of us unique. We are created on purpose for a purpose. You know, and some of us are just learning who it is that we are created to be. Some of us are rediscovering what it is to walk with Christ in our life. You may be looking at your bloopers and comparing your life to someone else's highlight reel. but desiring to have something more. I want to encourage you that something more is found in God. It is found in walking in a real relationship with Him. You know, sometimes we even try to hide from ourselves what's going on or our faults and stuff, but God, He's fully aware of them all. You know, if you're wanting to experience what it is to have an authentic walk with God, to walk in the identity that God has created for you, we would love to pray for you today. Now, we're here, and we're not perfect. I'm learning to be the first one to admit that, not have my husband tell me, which he does in a very loving way. But you know, we're here to pray with you, to partner with you, to stand beside you, and just, you know what, God's got you. And so we're just going to step into a time of worship, put on some music, and I just want to encourage you, take some time with God, you know, get real with Him. Yay. Because the love that He has for you is so beautiful, and he doesn't pay attention to any of the pretense. He doesn't pay attention to any of the pretending, because He sees the real you. I think it's Genesis 16:13 or 13:16. It says, "You are the God who sees me." And I love that. You are the God that sees me amongst the mess, amongst the stuff of life. You are the God who sees me. Not the mess, not my circumstances, not who the world says I am. You see me, who you created me to be, who you designed and purposed, who you planned and thought about, who you formed in my mother's womb. You see me. And I just think that is so powerful. It is so, so powerful. So as we worship, just want to encourage you, take time with God. If you need prayer, we'd love to pray for you. Mm-hmm.